How we thank the Lord to be able to come back to you with what we hope is a message on the world to come. We got into the thought on this first lesson, and the Lord led us into such a wonderful and rich and compassionate invitation by the Holy Spirit to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we're going to, only thing we know to do is to come back to the same scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll see what the Lord will do for us in this opportunity. You are not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And one thing I realize in all these years of ministries, called to preach back in 1970. Wow, I'm old as dirt. One thing I realized after all these years of ministry is that I don't belong to me. I belong to the Lord. This is God's ministry. I am God's servant. This is God's body. This is God's service. So we try to follow the Lord and stay dead to ourselves and follow the Lord. All right, you pray for yourself and me, and I'll pray for myself and you, and we'll see what the Lord does for us. Hebrews chapter number 2, hopefully, if the Lord's willing, to preach on the words in verse number 5, the world to come. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He said the people in times past heard this word from angels and prophets and so forth, but now we're hearing it from the Son of God, so we need to be careful that we got a more excellent word. For if the word spoken by angels in the Old Testament, Old Economy, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. The angels had a great deal to do with, and they were at a great ministry in the Old Economy, but God has not given them to have this world to come. We want to find out what that is. We're going to find out it's the same world as Peter in 2 Peter 3:13, the heaven and the earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we'll see that this is the kingdom of God, the present Christian age, the present dispensation of Christianity, if you will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. It's not given to angels to minister to us. There's a lot of people that's gone off the deep end, getting all caught up about angels. I don't discount them, but dear soul, that's not who brought the Word of God to us. The Word of God was brought to us by the person of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, who also sent His Holy Spirit to declare that Word unto us. We have it at a greater voice than angels, so we need to be careful lest we let this Word slip. Verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection unto his feet. For in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. God made Christ, the Son of Man, a little lower for a period of time, a little lower than the angels. But dear soul, he brought everything under subjection to his Son. He said, we don't see all things yet put under Christ. We will one day. But what do we see? Verse 8 tells you what you don't see. We see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9 tells you what you do see. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was made lower than the angels when he suffered death. For a little while, he was made lower than the angels. But now he's crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So we want to look and see in 2nd chapter of Hebrews in verse number 5 what it means about the world to come whereof we speak. Now, let's go back, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter 7 and listen at Stephen give his testimony prior to him being stoned to death. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 52. I just want to take these two verses out to show you why the apostle is spending two whole chapters, Hebrews chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 2, talking about angels. It's because he is the man that was given to lead the Hebrews, to lead the Israelites out of the old economy and bring them over into the new economy, the doctrines and the kingdom of grace. Lead them out from under the law and lead them into the kingdom of grace, in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. And they were so enamored with the involvement of angels in that which happened to them. We don't understand that. Let's read and see what they say. Acts chapter 7 and verse number, let's start with number 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53, who received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. So he says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. So we understand and see this is Stephen giving them a testimony, and included in that was their understanding, his understanding and their understanding, that they received the law by the disposition of angels. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 19. The book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse number 19. Galatians 3:19. Where then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till this seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Okay, us old Gentile Christians over here in the New World, in the New Testament, under the new covenant of grace, we don't really understand how much involvement angels had in the old economy. But these two passages in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says that this new world of the kingdom of grace, the dispensation of grace, the church age, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it was not to be put under the subjection to angels like the old economy was. So we go back to Acts chapter 7 and verse 52, and we read how Stephen made the statement that they received the law by the dispensation of angels. Then we read in the Apostle Paul's writings in Galatians chapter 3 verse number 19, the law was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So we understand by these passages why the Hebrew writer, and excuse me, I believe the Hebrew writer was the Apostle Paul. Of course, I haven't been to seminary or any kind of Bible school at all. I was raised up the same way Peter and James and John were, by the Holy Spirit. God taught me. So, okay. So I don't know anything like they know, like the schoolboys know. But as far as I'm concerned, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Shoot me, okay, if I'm wrong. Then why did the whoever wrote the book of Hebrews spend all of these verses, the entire first and second chapter of the book of Hebrews, talking about angels? Number one, to whom was he writing? Hebrews. Who are Hebrews? The word Hebrew came from Abraham's ancestor, Eber, E-B-E-R. So when they said it, they said, these are those of the Ebers. And it came to be Hebrews. So he's teaching those who were brought up under the old dispensation how to come over and think spiritually under the kingdom of grace and under the kingdom of the Holy Spirit. So he has to teach and train them for two whole chapters what they need to learn and understand about coming from a law given by the dispensation of angels to a kingdom of grace given by the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. Let's go back to chapter 1 of Hebrews, chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, with verse 1, and start reading and see what how he begins this. First word, God. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Yeah. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at separate times, sundry times, and in divers or different manners. God, who at separate times and in different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Got it? Yep. Genesis through Malachi. God spoke by the prophets. Now, hath in these last days, So the old economy was God manifesting to the people of God by the prophets through the dispensation of angels. And now that he's beginning to speak to us by his son, it's the last dispensation. There are only two. Schofield says there's seven. Schofield's dead. I wish he was dead to everybody. But God says there's only two. The law and grace. The prophets and his son. The dispensation of angels. The dispensation of the Holy Spirit. That's it. God, who at separate times and in different manners spake in times past. That's one time, in times past, unto the fathers by the prophets. Hebrews 1:2, hath in these last days. So you got two dispensations. Time past, Old Testament. These last days, New Testament. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So everything was made for him. It's going to wind up with him. Because it was by him, at the beginning, he made the world. So he's the Alpha and Omega. Listen, verse 3. His Son, being the brightness of God the Father's glory, and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. When did he do that? At Calvary. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, when did Jesus begin to reign? According to Hebrews 1:3, immediately after he purged our sins. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus whom you have seen go into heaven shall come again in like manner. Where did he go? There was an old song that we used to sing when I was in the youth choir, which you know had to be 190,000 years ago. Oh, listen to our wondrous story. Once we dwelt among the lost, yet Jesus came from heaven's glory to redeem us at awful cost. What did he do? He died for you. Where is he now? In heaven interceding. I don't know why I still remember the words of that song, but that has a great meaning to me, and I hope it does to you. Where is he now? He's in heaven interceding. When did he do that? He came and saved us at awful cost. What did he do? He died for you. Then what did he do? He went to heaven to intercede. What does this say? He purged our sins, and when he had a time stamp on this, when he had by himself purged our sins, what's the next thing he did? Sat down where? On the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord. Where is he now? In heaven interceding. Now, he's at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels. Immediately, once he establishes that the old economy was the God speaking by the prophets, the new economy is God speaking to us by his Son. And immediately when he says that Jesus Christ purged our sins, and immediately upon doing so, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, he goes back and picks up angels. Why? Because, as in Galatians 3:19 and Acts chapter 7, verse 52, we understand that the angels had a great deal to do with the old economy, and but it was by their hand that God dispensed the law. So he wants to get these Hebrews over from their relationship and the importance of angels to replacing them entirely and completely by the importance of only one, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. So he's going to take two chapters to help these people that are fully indoctrinated with the work of angels in the old economy over to not to trash them or not to ignore them, leave it alone, it is what it is, but superseded by, replaced by, always being superseded and being overcome by the greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, immediately, being made so much better than the angels. How is he better than the angels? He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What do you mean by inheritance? He's greater than the angels. Well, verse 5, let me ask you a question. For unto which of the angels, can you find it in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, find me a single verse where at any time God said to any angel, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? No. That's what he says. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, can you find me a single verse where he said to a single angel, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son? No. And again, can you find anything where God said to an angel, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him? Deuteronomy 32:43. This is all established in the scriptures. You can look them up. Verse 7. And of the angels, he said, so this is what he did say to angels. Verses 5 and 6 are things that he did not ever say to angels. He said only to his son. Now in verse 7, here's what he did say to angels. Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That's how Lucifer, the mighty angel, the anointed cherub that was supposed to cover the peoples of God and take care of them, that's how that mighty archangel became the devil. Because God said, you are a ministering spirit. You are to take care of my people. And the devil evidently said, I ain't going to have this man rule over me. He's made out of dirt. I am a celestial being. There's no impurities in me. I was created by the express breath and moisture from the mouth of God himself. Glorious. Read in Isaiah chapter 14 and over in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find how glorious he was. Walked up and down amidst the stones of fire. Glorious. Music coming from him when he moved. Pipes, it says, that came and brought forth glorious music. A glorious angel. And then he said, okay, angels, you're our ministering spirits. Go on down to verse 14. I'll help you with this. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Answer, yes. That's what he made the angels for. But this one angel said, not me. I'm not going to go down and serve man. So you can always tell who is of God and who is not. Every man that says, I will be like the Most High. You're going to do what I say. I'm going to be in charge. He exalts himself. He's of the devil. But every man that says, I'm here to be servants of your soul. That's what I'm here for. To be helpers of your joy. That's exactly the phrase it says. We are to be helpers of your joy. That's the man of God. So you have Jesus down, down, down. Oh, shoot, I can't even think. Hebrews, no, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And being found in fashion as a man, verse 8 of Philippians 2, he humbled himself, came down, humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to death. Not only just natural physical death, but death of the cross, down, 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 down. That's Jesus. But the devil said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself above the rest of the angels, the stars of God. That's the devil. So every man that seeks the preeminence and wants to be adhered to, he's of the devil. And that's how you tell the harlot church. But every man that wants to be subservient to Christ and serve God's people, there you go. That's Christ dwelling in him. So back to verse number 7, Hebrews chapter number 1. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he said, contrary to that, verse number 8 of Hebrews 1, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So Peter said, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, who's in charge of that? Unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom of God. That's the third world that Peter was talking about. In verses 6 and 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about the world of Adam. It was destroyed by the flood of Noah. Then the world of Noah, wherein now standeth out of the water. He said, now we have this world because the first world perished. That's the second world. Then Peter said, we're looking for the new heavens and the new earth, 2 Peter 3:13, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What do you mean we're looking for it? Well, people say, well, that means it hadn't come yet. And they think that they can stand right here in the year 2022 and say, we're looking for new heavens and a new earth. It hadn't come yet. Go back to where the man said it. Stood 2,000 some odd years ago, and hear Peter say, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's talking about the kingdom of God that was coming on earth by the Holy Spirit. Because it was said to Peter and the other disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." But dear soul, we know the kingdom has come. We can pray and ask God to let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the revelation and the manifestation of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God has come. Jesus said, "The kingdom is among you." And he said, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost." How does that go? Is it Matthew? Nope. It's Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." It's not natural. It's not literal. It's not physical. It's not food and drink. But what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you find righteousness, joy, and peace by the Holy Spirit, you got the kingdom. It's already here. So we are not taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come," as if it had not come yet. But we can pray, "Lord, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is the expression of the kingdom of God among us. Let it manifest itself and let it rule over men. So he says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness." What kind of world was Peter looking for? 2 Peter 3:13. "A new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." He didn't say wherein dwelleth glory. Now the kingdom of righteousness will go on and manifest itself in the kingdom of glory eternally. The kingdom of righteousness is the mediatorial kingdom of Jesus. What does that mean? It means right now he's mediating. Where is he now in heaven interceding for you? Romans 8:34. The intercession is going on because Christ is on the throne mediating for you. "I will pray the Father and he will, you ask of me, it shall be done." He's mediating for you. But then when he comes back and the last trumpet blows, and time shall be no more, and sin has been dealt with, and death and hell have been cast into the lake of fire, and God's people have been brought into their eternal rewards, then God shall be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in his glory. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "And when he shall appear, then we shall appear in glory like him." 1 John 3:2, "For we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So when Jesus lays down his robes of mediation and becomes God all in all, then there's that glory that comes, and that same king and that same kingdom transcends into the kingdom of glory from the kingdom of grace. Grace now, yes, but that's the bud. But it blossoms into glory. So the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of heaven, said, looking for a new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. It is under the scepter of righteousness, Hebrews 1:8, wherein Jesus Christ now sits on the throne. But dear soul, listen. When that seventh trumpet blows and everything is done, and the Bible said he must reign till all enemies are put under his feet. Do you understand that verse? He must reign until. It didn't say he's going to start reigning then. It said no. He's been reigning all this time and he will continue reigning until all enemies are put under his feet in this mediatorial reign. He's at the right hand of the majesty on high after he hath himself purged our sins. Immediately from the cross he ascended into the heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, and he has brought in the kingdom of grace. It is the kingdom of righteousness. But dear soul, he must reign until all enemies are put under his feet. the last enemy to be put under his feet is death. He shall replace death with eternal life. And when he lays down his robes of mediation that he wears now, then the kingdom of glory shall come in, being the same kingdom of righteousness, but transcending into a far higher degree of glory than what you can imagine. For eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man that which God has got prepared for us in the kingdom of his glory. The world to come is the kingdom of grace. The dispensation of the church age is not put under and made subject to angels. It's subject to the Holy Spirit. So in Hebrews 2:5, the world to come is the present age of grace. It's the kingdom of righteousness, the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's where the sun sits and reigns now with a scepter of righteousness, which is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, whatever you want to call it, that started from Pentecost and will continue until time shall be no more. So we see he says, but unto the Son, he saith, he didn't say this to the angels, Hebrews 1:8, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, above angels, above all the prophets, above all humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ is anointed above all others. He didn't do that to angels. Verse 10, Hebrews chapter 1. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But, verse 13, Hebrews 1, to which of the angels said he at any time, set on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? None. You Bible scholars, take your time, go back through the Bible from Genesis to Malachi and find me one verse wherein is recorded that God said to one angel, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. You can't do it. You know why? Because it's not there. That's the point that the apostle is making in dedicating two whole chapters to the study of angels in Hebrews chapters 1 and chapters 2. And he's showing you an all genuine, sincere Hebrews, no matter how you had to see the old economy under the dispensation of the law by the hand of angels, it is not that way anymore. It is totally changed. Old things have passed away. I make all things new, and now it's under his Son. So let's finish up Hebrews 1, 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Yep. Angels still have responsibilities, and they still can be entertained unawares. But we are not to give ourselves to searching for or worshiping of angels. We've come on from that. They were but a stepping stone to get us from the law to the dispensation of grace under the Son. And we are to come to Christ. And he clearly tells you in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5, For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Now, the world to come back then was the kingdom age that you are enjoying and benefiting in right now. The world to come, quote unquote, is Peter's heavens and earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's the kingdom of God. Now, this phrase is also seen another time in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. In Hebrews chapter number 6. And he begins to tell us that we need to go on and progress in the things of God, as he says in verse 1 of Hebrews 6, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Yes, I remember in the first grade, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And we went home and sang that, and we thought we had, you know, that we were smarter than Einstein. We really had to learn something. But then we had to learn what to do with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That these different letters spelled different words, and we were given a little old paperback book, and it had a black and white cocker spaniel dog jumping around, and his name was Spot. And there was a little girl in there, her name was Jane, and there was a little boy in there, and his name was Dick. And we had little simple sentences, see, spot, run. And it was hard. I could sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but then when I had to say, see, spot, run, you had to assemble those letters to make words, and you had to assemble those words. What are you doing to me? I had to assemble those words now to make sentences. But that ain't all. Now we've got to assemble those sentences to make paragraphs. And the word jump was hard on me. That P, sometimes, you know, the D and the B was one way was this way, one way was that way. Jump was like this. And J, you know, J, U, and P, and then you had to learn all that stuff. And God is saying that to us here in Hebrews 6:1. Come on and grow up. The angels did so much for us in the old economy. Good. That's what they're supposed to do. A, B, C, D, F. Yes, that's good. But now, leaving the principles of the doctrine of grace, not abandoning them as if they did not exist, but going on from that, growing in grace and in the knowledge of God, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Not laying again the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands of a resurrection of the dead and of an eternal judgment. And this will we do. God will have all of his people to grow up. They shall all be taught of God. Dear soul, every single soul that's in eternal glory, every single soul that's regenerate on earth right now, every one of them have one thing in common. The Holy Spirit has taught them about God. They may have gone to a certain church, to a certain pastor, to a certain ministry, to a certain kind of teaching, but whatever it was God teaching all of us and bringing us all to one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. You're not going to get to heaven and be arguing about how we're supposed to baptize. Well, we sprinkle. Well, we baptize. We duck them. It's all going to come together to be one thing because there's only one Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Go on from these A, B, C, D, E, and come on to the perfections. Leave angels behind and come on to the Son of God. That's where we are. This is the world to come, the kingdom of God. That's what the angels were preparing the ancient Hebrews for, to come on and enter into and understand the things of the kingdom of God. He said, and this will we do if God permit, verse number 4 of Hebrews 6. Now stick with me. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, just tasted, the work of the Holy Spirit, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost by tasting of it, and have tasted, again, the good word of God, and tasted the powers of the world to come. There it is again. Tasted of the world to come. Why is it saying that again? Well, in Hebrews 2:5, it says, God is not going to put the world to come, which is the kingdom of God that we're experiencing now, under the supervision of angels. He will not subject this world to come to angels. Now what is he saying? He's saying that those who have been involved with the kingdom of God, and they were once enlightened, verse 6, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. He's saying there were thousands of people in Jerusalem on Pentecost. There were 3,000 of them got saved. But there was a lot of them that got excited about getting excited. They were enlightened by it, and it was the same Holy Spirit that was the languages that they heard speaking. Well, we heard people speaking in our own language. Well, when we got there from North Africa, because we were Jews that came from Cyrene or wherever it was, and we went to Jerusalem on Pentecost, we had to find people that could understand what we were saying. We wanted to find a motel, and they were speaking one language, and we were speaking another. We had to find people that could talk our language. But when Peter began to preach, everybody understood every word he said in their own language. We experienced that. How long did that last? Well, when we started back home, it all went back like it was. But did you experience that? Yeah, I'm telling my son and grandson and my nephew and my cousin all about it. And I'm all excited. I was once enlightened. But what lasting value did it have on you? Well, we're able to be the life of the party and tell everybody what happened there. But what about that man Jesus? Well, we don't put much stock in that. But I thought you were once enlightened. We were. I thought you were really excited about that. We were. But you've fallen away from that? Yeah. Guess what? It's not possible to renew you to repentance, even though you have tasted of the powers of, quote unquote, the world to come. Hebrews 6:5. Hebrews 2:5, God's not going to subject the kingdom of God, the world to come, to angels anymore. He did that under the law. We read it to you, Galatians 3:19, Acts chapter 7, verse 52. But it's not going to do it anymore. The world to come is not going to be put under angels. But Hebrews 6 and verse number 5, even though you were able to taste of the powers of the world to come, if you got back home and said, man, it was really something, you ought to have been there, and everybody got together and come over here to Granddaddy's house, and he's going to tell us all about his trip to Jerusalem and give us all this understanding, and then what's he going to do next Sabbath? Back down there sacrificing a calf at the synagogue. And he's back to what he was doing before he went. It is impossible to renew him to repentance who have tasted of the powers of the world to come. Can't do it. What do we know about him? Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. Let's see if I can find it. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. Verse 3, spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a certain sower, S-O-W-E-R, went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Here's the one I want you to see, verse 5 of Matthew 13. And some fell upon stony places, just sowing seed, and some got into the rocks, where they had not much earth, not much dirt in there. Rocks take up all the space. But there's some dirt in there. You know, when it rains, it kind of washes a little bit of dirt in there. And the seed sprung up. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Because there was no deepness of earth, they come up quick. They didn't have to go down too far. They just came up. They didn't go down deep. They went up far. They had no deepness. It says because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Why? Because they had no root. They withered away. The same shallowness of soil which made them come up quick, made them die quick, because there was no depth where the root could draw moisture from down deep and survive, cause the plant to survive. But what do we know about this stony ground here? Verse number 18, Matthew 13. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one with his birds, with his fowls of the air, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Fell over there on the path. You know, you don't walk on Granddaddy's garden. You walk around the edge where the path is. Some seed fell over there on the path. It's beaten down so hard. It was like a rock, like concrete. The birds come and got that. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, got over there among the rocks, there was some dirt. And it was loose. It wasn't pounded down like the wayside where the path is. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and behold, and anon, with joy receiveth it. That's what it says. Tasted of the powers of the world to come. We got excited. Everybody heard Peter's sermon in their own language and in their own dialect. I'm telling you, grandson, now that he's back home, I'm telling you, mama telling his wife, I'm telling you, my cousin, my brother, it was something to behold. He's greatly moved by the powers of the world to come, the Holy Ghost. But what about next Sabbath, Granddaddy? Well, what about it? Well, did all that change you in any way? Well, no, it gave me something exciting to talk about. And, you know, I can fill my pipe and prop up my feet at the fireplace and at night tell all y'all all about it until I bore you to death telling you the same story 1,500 times. You know how grandparents are. They can't remember that they've already told you that 14 times. But it gave me something to tell y'all about. But no, next Sabbath we're going back and take that calf that I've had put up down there in that pen down to the priest at the synagogue and let him slay so that we can fulfill the law. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened to renew themselves again to repentance if they fall away from it. Because he fell away from the world to come. Listen. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, Matthew 13:20, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. It's in himself. It's not the soil's problem. It's not the soil's fault. It's not the rock's fault. It's his fault. He did not have any root in himself. He dureth for a while. What would we say of that 1611 King James word dureth? We'd put an E-N in front of it. He endureth for a while. He endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That's what this is in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." They actually entered into and tasted somewhat of the Holy Spirit in the new kingdom of Jesus Christ. But they only tasted of it. What did that verse say that we read you in John chapter 6, verses 63 through 65? "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood." Thanksgiving Day. Where you headed? Well, the horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the, you know, the wild and old, whatever it is, snow. But what you did was, before you left the house, you were so hungry, you gorged yourself on last night's leftovers. Now you get to Grandmama's house, and she's got all this spread out for you, but, you know, all you do is taste. You know, I just love the taste of her dressing. Nobody makes dressing like Grandma. But I just want a little taste. Not going to eat it. You don't have any hunger to be satisfied by eating. You just wanted a little taste. What did you do? "I tasted of the powers of the world to come." I was in Jerusalem. I was at Pentecost. Things were happening. It was exciting. I didn't want to miss anything. I tried to get pictures of everything and put them up on YouTube so everybody could see it. And boy, it was really something. 6 months later, where are you? Well, I still got those pictures. We look at them every once in a while, but nothing really happened, and I'm back to where I was. You going back to Jerusalem on Pentecost next year? I don't know why. Because the veil of the temple was split in two. And it lost something for me, because that means that the inner Holy of Holies was polluted, because it was not no longer encased in God's glory. Now it was split open, and the God of this world, prince of the power of the air, has invaded it. And God's not going to have that law attended to anymore like it was. And so he just fell away. But if you ever have tasted of the power of the world to come. Well, you know, I remember back when I was a teenager, Mom and Daddy made me go to the revival meeting, whatever that was. And everybody got excited. And boy, that new preacher they brought in, he was a pistol ball. And I just loved to hear him preach. And man, alive as me and some of my friends was sitting there, we quit talking and passing notes, because that fellow was something else. And we watched him preach and got all excited about it. Next thing you know, we were down at the front of the church and everybody was squalling and crying and carrying on. And then they got me baptized. Yeah, I'm a member of that church. When's the last time you were there? Well, I ain't been there in 15 years. It's impossible to renew you to repentance again. Can't get you back to the place. We can't put the toothpaste back into the tube. It is impossible to get you back to the place of being sincerely and honestly lost, so that God can save you. Can't do that again, because you have tasted of the powers of the kingdom age, the world to come. And that's what he says. If they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Why? It would take Jesus Christ having to come back and be crucified all over again because you've used up that opportunity of Jesus dying on the cross and you wasn't sincere about it. Yes, you just tasted a little bit, but your belly was full of leftovers before you went to grandma. You just tasted. Well, I'm going to church. Yeah, I went to church when I was a teenager. Yeah, mom and them made me go. But you don't have any hunger and thirst after righteousness now, do you? Well, I'm sorry, old son. It's impossible to bring you back to repentance again because it would require Christ to be crucified afresh. My soul. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For if the earth drinks in the rain and has the sun to come upon it and briars and thorns come up, you can't pick tomatoes and green beans from that. But beloved, this old, the word of God, the gospel has come. The rain of the Holy Spirit has come and softened the earth and given you opportunity to have somewhat of a response to the word of God. But you didn't have any root. So the powers of the world to come have just been tasted. So those two places, Hebrews 2:5 and Hebrews 6:5, has that same phrase, the world to come, and it's talking about the kingdom of age. And it's the same thing as Peter talking about the heavens and the earth which are now. He says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Dear soul, don't mess around with God and the gospel. Amen. Stay away from it or be completely given to it and cry out to God for mercy. God is good. Thank you for your attentiveness. I trust now that you'll pray for dear brother Bobby Quick as he comes. And thank the Lord that he continues to bring us a beautiful song that we might fellowship in the love of the spirit of this music. God bless you, brother Bobby.